welcome to the Blue Jays Plus podcast. I am Ewan Ross from Prince George, British Columbia, and you are?
Gideon Turk from Toronto, Ontario.
This week we have a very, very sad show. Because as most Blue Jays fans probably know, Jose Reyes got hurt yesterday. Or Friday, whenever you're listening to this.
Life sucks.
Life totally sucks. So on this show, we will be going over the Jose Reyes injury and who we can replace him with and other targets like the Kawasaki call-up, other roster moves like picking up Casper Wells, Brett Laurie's injury status, and the international signing bonus trading, which is very complicated and we'll try and explain. Super complicated. So let's jump in. Yesterday, Jose Reyes sprained his ankle, which is being described as a severe ankle sprain, which is not a break, but I'm not sure that's actually a good thing because the sprain can frequently be worse than the break. He did it sliding into second base on a very incompetent slide. I don't really know what he was doing. But so he's out from between 1 to 3 months. And as a response, the Jays have called up Munenori Kawasaki to replace him, at least in a temporary basis. But yeah, just Gideon, cry for a bit.
I'm sad. He was so much fun to watch.
Exactly. Even aside from the impact on the field, he made every game much more entertaining to watch on TV, or go to, for that matter.
Yeah. Kawasaki provides gifs, but Jose Reyes provides everything.
Yeah, he provides lots of gifs. So, why don't...
Gifs.
Gifs, damn it. So, as a result of him going on the disabled list, the Blue Jays called up and promoted to the 40-man roster Munenori Kawasaki, who was with the Mariners last year, in his first year since coming over from NPB. And while he's a very, very entertaining player and was a big fan favorite in Seattle, he can't hit at all. He last year posted a 192, 257, 202 slugging percentage. Good for a 35 OPS plus. And for that matter, his defense is not great. He has good range and good speed, but his arm is slightly deficient. And yeah, what do you expect to get out of him?
I don't think he'll be up here past this week. It looks like Anthopoulos is going to rush a trade to try to get something done. And I wouldn't expect really him to play much if Asturias is healthy, which I think he has a sore foot or something like that.
Yeah, he should be getting off on Friday.
Yeah, so he should be getting at-bats at shortstop. Yeah.
I would agree. I kind of like Asturias. He's a little stretched at shortstop. I really like him at second base, but I don't want to see Bonifacio at second base anymore. So if they can just get some glove to find... to play shortstop, leave Asturias at second base, and then hopefully Laurie, who we'll get to later, coming back later in the week, the defense could be okay. The leadoff man at the top of the order is another thing altogether, which might be Laurie again when he comes back. But
who let off today?
Bonifacio let off today, but he's playing right field because Bautista was playing third base. And just quickly, while before any Jays fans, which I've seen a bunch of people suggest, Brett Laurie can't play shortstop. So we're not playing Brett Laurie at shortstop and Jose Bautista at third base. That's just a disastrous idea.
But I'm sure Brett Laurie can play shortstop.
You would then have a...
He would probably need an extra 3 or 4 Red Bulls.
It's true. Or just some speed, you know. Whatever. There's no pits near shortstop, so maybe that would avoid him getting hurt.
He'd find a way.
He would run into Bautista playing third, and they'd both be injured that way. So let's just quickly look around, because Anthopoulos has made noises about going out and making a trade. Probably a short-term fix, because as Reyes will be back at some point, hopefully, you're not looking for somebody big time. So you had some trade targets that you think might be available on the cheap.
Yeah. Richard Griffin of the Star said Mike Aviles, John McDonald, Unieski, Betancourt, Jonathan Herrera, Ramiro Pena, Cesar Estras, or D. Gordon.
Wait. He said Unieski, Betancourt?
Yes. Richard Griffin should not be saying Unieski, Betancourt. Nobody should be saying Unieski, Betancourt.
No, he's the first baseman for the Brewers, so they can't. That won't happen.
Is he actually? Is he on the Phillies?
No, their shortstop, or sorry, their third base and first base with Ramirez and Hart out are Betancourt at first and Alex Gonzalez playing third base.
That's hilarious.
So things could be worse, Blue Jays fans. Things could be worse.
The only two people from that list that interest me are Vilas and John McDonald, both former Jays. Well, Vilas for
a few weeks.
D. Gordon is redundant with Emilio Bonifacio. They're both basically the same people, same player.
D. Gordon plays a little bit better defense, but is a much, much, much worse hitter, and I don't want anything to do with D. Gordon.
Yeah. I would like to throw out Pedro Siriaco on the Red Sox. He's their backup shortstop. He provides good defense, not much with the bat, but it doesn't look like Anthopoulos is targeting a bat. He said he wants some defense. I don't think it will take much for the Red Sox to give a backup shortstop up. They need a...
I would be suspicious of the Red Sox actually making a trade with the Blue Jays because... Yeah.
Because it's interdivision, I don't think it's going to happen, but...
He's not a bad name.
Yeah.
The other guy that I was thinking about is Tyler Green of the... Formerly of the Astros, waived during spring training, and currently in AAA for the White Sox. He is not a glove, but he can hit a little bit. I don't know. It's all of these options are pretty sad. But the best option of the names you listed is Mike Aviles. And potentially the Indians would be interested in Esmo Rogers back. Just undo that trade entirely. Let them keep starting catcher Yan Gomes, who started a catcher today for the and hit a home run, too. But Aviles is by far the best of those players, but I think he's valuable to the Indians, and we'd have to give up something of value to get him. And since the Indians are desperately in need of starting pitching, something I don't really think the Blue Jays have to give up right now, unless maybe Brett Cecil, but I'd like to keep Brett Cecil.
I would love to keep Brett Cecil. Let's not trade Brett Cecil.
No, I agree. Let's hang on to him. And the last name is Blue Jays fan favorite John McDonald, who is currently on the bench backing up a hitter who might be worse than him in Clint Barnes in Pittsburgh. He's got 4 at-bats this year. I have reluctance about John McDonald because... Frankly, from my eyes, his defense, which is his only skill, has slipped the past couple years. He's lost a step, and I'm a little hesitant to go get him. If he's free, sure.
Yeah, I don't think he'd require much. Maybe a couple $100,000.
Yeah, and frankly, his teammate in Pittsburgh, if Clint Barnes, who is one of my least favorite players in the league, but is a spectacular defender, but is a terrible hitter, had, 106 strikeouts to 20 walks last year, but he would be another all-glove kind of guy that you might be able to target.
But then I guess the Pirates don't really have a shortstop, so that's not happening.
Well, the Pirates should be... Yeah, you're right. I mean, they don't have a shortstop as it is because Clint Barnes is no one should stop for a contender.
Why don't we trade for John McDonald and the Pirates have to throw in Travis Snyder?
Have you seen what Travis Snyder's been doing? Actually, he had a hot week this week. But
feels. Feelings.
Yes, it would be a nice warm fuzzy feeling bringing Travis Snyder back, even though he's got nothing on Casper Wells, which is a segue. And I shouldn't say that because it kind of kills the segue part. But this week, the Blue Jays have made a whole bevy of roster moves. Initially, the Kawasaki call-up as well, but they claimed Dave Bush off, or they promoted Dave Bush from AAA. That was covered briefly on our last show. He lasted one game before being demoted and claiming Edgar Gonzalez from the Astros, who lasted one game on the team before being DFA'd again and clearing waivers, in order to claim Mauro Gomez, who is a first baseman, formerly in the Red Sox system. And after Mauro Gomez was claimed, they wound up DFAing Alex Burnett, who had been claimed 2 weeks ago, and was lost to the Orioles. And then the last move of the week was the Jays claiming Casper Wells, which I'm going to trumpet because I wrote an article saying that we should do this almost exactly a week ago.
I think Anthopoulos reads our site.
I think so too. I mean, we had the Mark DeRosa call. We had this one.
You had the Marlins fire sale back in July.
Oh, good call, because Anthopoulos did do that as well.
Something's going on here.
Yeah, definitely.
Alex Anthopoulos, if you're listening to us, please tell us.
Yeah, go claim John McDonald. But Casper Wells is a player that I really like. So all of these roster moves are, they were nothing guys. They were just depth guys, presumably for AAA or just overall depth. But Wells is a different guy entirely. He can rake against left-handed pitching. And he's a much better defender than Rajay Davis, even though without the speed. He has excellent roots on balls, can play short center field if need be, but probably just corner guy for now. So what are your thoughts, first of all, on the Wells move? And then, the Wells move to start with.
I like it. Kind of shores up the bench. Nice platoon partner for Lind, which was missing because Mark Teresa isn't that good of a platoon partner. It's going to get a little complicated, I guess. Maybe with Rajai Davis. I don't know how the Reyes injury might affect that. But
yeah, let's get to discuss Laurie later on. But just for now, just try to focus on Wells because I like him.
Same. What does he have? 182 WRC plus against lefties outside of Safeco?
Technically, it's on the road, but mostly outside of Safeco because he was in Detroit for a little bit. But yeah, on the road, 182 OPS plus with a .628 slugging percentage and a over .400 on base percentage. You're not getting better than that.
Yeah, no. And it definitely seems like Gibbons is liking the platoon and Lind isn't even getting so many at-bats against righties. But
yeah,
besides from that,
any at-bats against lefties this year.
Yeah, so something Gibbons does that Farrell doesn't.
No, it's something that's not done very much in the league at all these days. The other possibility is he can platoon for Colby Rasmus if need be. Although that would... Oh, no, I guess Bonifacio could play center field as well. But he's a guy I really like. And after I had the Mariners game on earlier today, and seeing that they have Andy Chavez and Jason Bay in the outfield right now, and leading off and hitting second, they could really use Casper Wells, and they should not have demoted him. It was a big mistake on their part. But that's to our benefit.
Now we get to reap the rewards.
So, just overall, I saw an article or a tweet by John Paul Morosi, everyone's favorite writer, talking about how he doesn't think that a contending team uses the waiver wire this often. Which is ridiculous. I mean, why would you not take free talent if it's out there? But Alex Anthopoulos is one of the most aggressive general managers in the league when it comes to this. And so far this season, I think, or since the end of last season, I think he's claimed 15 guys off of waivers.
Yeah, something like that. At minor leaguer.
Yeah.
Guy from Bloomer Banter with the Sporkle quiz on that. It's impossible. I got like 5 or 6 guys.
Yeah. There's so many. There's guys like Eli Whiteside and Bobby Wilson and just guys you completely forget about. Lars Anderson. But so I think there are many different goals to this. The first one is just obviously to improve our depth. If you've got guys like Edgar Gonzalez, who has cleared waivers and is now safely in AAA, he can be called up and is serviceable. He actually looked pretty decent when he was in, I think that was the Tigers game.
He looked good.
He did. Gave up a couple runs at the end there.
He's not as bad as Dave Bush.
No.
Not saying much, but, you know.
Exactly. And there's no downside here. You know, they claimed Alex Burnett out of spring training, and he stuck around on the roster for a little while, and then they tried to sneak him through but lost him. But when you're losing a guy like that, you didn't really even have him to begin with. So, yeah, it just boosters that major league depth. The other major impact of that is improving the roster in Buffalo, because they've made comments that they really want Buffalo to have a competitive team and to establish their relationship with the Bisons and make it a strong one. So adding minor league, you know, frankly, stars like Mauro Gomez, he might not be a major leaguer, but...
Luis Jimenez.
Yeah, Luis Jimenez, even guys like Clint Robinson, who's in Double-A at the moment. But, you know, these kind of guys just boost up that roster. And the other move, which I didn't mention, was Miguel Batista, everyone's favorite poet-writing relief pitcher, was also signed to a minor league contract, and he's explicitly ticketed for AAA. But these are the kind of guys who help out a AAA roster, and after living in a town that had AAA baseball for quite a long time, until they left town, you know, you always want to go see a good team, and when the team's better, attendance goes up, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
When the Jays is affiliated with the Bisons, they had all that prospect depth in AAA with Darno and Go, so it looked like they're going to do well. And then they traded Darno, and they lost some of that AAA goodness. So I think it's Andrew Tenish who's acquired it in charge of minor league signings. He had to improve that roster. They promised a winner to Buffalo, and they deserve it.
Yeah, anything you can do to keep that AAA team out of a place like Las Vegas, which is a disaster and is always the last place to be filled when they shuffle, you have to do it, because they absolutely kill minor league pitching, and you can't trust the hitting stats. Whereas in Buffalo, you can actually evaluate your players there.
Yeah, you have to keep Buffalo happy.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. So, transitioning... Brett Laurie is on his way back from injury. On Friday night, he played in Dunedin.
No. Yeah? Did he?
Yeah. Friday, he played in Dunedin. And then today, Saturday, he played in the Complex League game because they were going to get rained out in Dunedin. So
yeah.
He just came down there and he got 6 at-bats. So, he should be back. There was speculation he would be back for the Yankees series, which starts on Monday or Tuesday. I can't remember
Friday.
Which. Oh.
White Sox is first.
White Sox on the first. Yeah, so it'll either be the Yankees series next weekend or the Orioles coming up after that.
I think I read something from Wilner, I think, or maybe it was Brendan Kennedy of the Stars, saying that he'd be surprised if he wasn't back by Monday or Tuesday.
Really? I heard fairly the opposite, but, you know, either way, he's really close to coming back. And when Laurie comes back, there will be a roster crunch. Because right now we've gotten rid of the 12-man bullpen, sorry, the 7-man bullpen, or 8-man bullpen, God, can't talk. And so the bench currently is backup catcher Henry Blanco, whoever's not playing, Bonifacio or Asturias at infield, assuming Kawasaki's the shortstop for now. And then Rajay Davis. Am I missing anybody? And Mark DeRosa as well. So one of those guys will have to be sent packing. And who do you think is the most likely candidate to do that?
Rajai Davis.
I completely agree. And that's why I was so happy about the Casper Wells signing, because he's a direct upgrade over Rajai Davis. He hits better. He's better defensively. The only thing he doesn't do as well is have the speed.
But you don't need Davis's speed with Bonifacio.
And Kalki, to a certain degree, even though I don't think he's going to be around. The only other candidate, I would say, is Mark DeRosa, but I think they want to keep him around for clubhouse reasons and defensive flexibility and things like that.
Yeah, he was key last night to slide into second. He could play first, he can play third, he could play right.
Tune
with Lind.
Yes, exactly. So I think that's what we're going to be seeing. And again, just don't consider Brett Laurie for the shortstop job. Just want to get that out there. Not going to happen.
What do you do with Davis? Trade him?
Oh, well, potentially we could look at Davis as a trading chip for this mystery shortstop that we were talking about.
Exactly what I was thinking.
Yeah, we have to look at which teams really need outfield help and have a middle infielder they could use, or that we could use, sorry. Someone like the Rays, potentially, or the Royals, looking for Jeff Francoeur, you know, whatever. They have like an Elliot Johnson on their bench right now, other guys like that. You know, not inspiring names by any means, but could be an option.
Yeah, Elliot Johnson. I would not mind Elliot Johnson.
Nope, I would gladly take him. So I do believe Davis is on his way out of town, and I've got my fingers crossed for that to be the case, because I'm not a big fan. For all of his speed, he's just a terrible, terrible defensive outfielder. Takes awful routes to the balls, and yeah.
Aside from robbing home runs that one time, he is hard to watch in the outfield.
Yeah, and then there was a couple gunned out at the plate type deals where his pop gun arm managed to get the job done. But yeah, with Bonifacio, he's redundant. So goodbye, Rajai Davis. Hardly knew you. For our final segment here, we're going to look at new wrinkle in the Major League Baseball collective bargaining agreement, which starts on July 2nd. This year, for the first time, there is a cap on teams' international spending on amateurs from the Dominican Republic and other places in Latin America. Under these rules, the Blue Jays have $2.8 million to spend, and each team have different caps regarding, depending on where they finished last year. However, baseball is allowing you to trade for up to 50% more of that cap. So the Blue Jays could acquire another $1.4 million. And because the Blue Jays are one of the more aggressive teams in the international market, I think we can expect them to do that.
But it gets more confusing.
It gets very confusing. And as Ben Badler, who we'll be linking to this article, two articles actually by him, explaining this, as he says,
there's slots.
Or at least make them more complicated, thereby limiting bonuses. Well, thanks MLB for making things more complicated for your fans to not be able to understand. But as the way it works is every team is allocated four slots in descending order of, you know, the Astros have the first slot and like the 31st slot. And each slot drops like the draft caps do. You can't just trade for money. You have to trade the entire slot value. But
you can only trade for 50% of your allocated money.
Exactly. So let's say the Blue Jays were to go out and trade for... So the Blue Jays are allowed to get $1.4 million additionally. If they were to trade for a $1.8 million slot, they could compensate that team by sending back a few of their lesser slots. It's really, really, really complicated. So these can't start until July 2nd, but it's something that is in the water right now. And I think, you know, there's a bunch of teams who have a bunch of money to spend, but will not be spending that money. Namely, the Marlins, who love to spend money, have $3.4 million to spend, slightly under. And they won't be spending anything like that, because Jeffrey Loria is a crook. Also,
last year, their top signing was $85,000.
Exactly.
They are not spending $3.4 million.
For sure. The other interesting one, there's a few that interested me here. The Astros, who, while the Astros will be looking at being aggressive, they have over almost $5 million to spend. And that's a lot of room that you frankly don't need. So I think if they could trade for a couple prospects who are maybe a little bit closer to the majors, they might be willing to give away some of that and still have a lot of money to play with in Latin America. And then the last one that I found really interesting was the Rays. The Rays have $1.9 million. And while they would love to spend all of that, because they went over the cap last year, they're only allowed to sign someone for $250,000. So presumably they will be able to trade away some of that and still be able to sign these $250,000 guys in the future. So those are three, or at least the Astros and the Marlins are two teams who Alex Anthopoulos has a history of trading with. Some of the other teams who Badler speculates might be selling are the Twins with $3.9 million, the Indians with $3.6 million, and the Rockies with $4.2 million, because, you know, anytime you can trade with the Rockies, we should do it. This stuff is really complicated, and I sort of don't have a full grasp on what it means yet. But do you have any thoughts on this?
Not really. I mean, I'm looking at the slot values, but it's confusing.
I haven't looked at that yet. What are the Blue Jays slot values worth?
The Jays' ninth pick is worth $1.22 million. Their second pick at number 39 is $421,900. Their third pick at number 69 is $284,900. And their last pick at 99 is $187,900.
And yeah, all of these are added on top of the $700,000 that everyone gets. But so what I expect Alex Anthopoulos will do is trade away some low-level prospects. You know, maybe I don't really want to speculate on names here, you know.
Yeah,
but
I think players like David Rollins last year, who was having a good year and built up some trade value, and then he was traded to the Astros in the Hap deal. He was having a good season in Lansing, I believe, and then traded.
Exactly. And essentially, the teams that they'd be trading with are essentially getting a free prospect, because the Marlins aren't going to spend that money anyway. So they're giving the money to the Blue Jays and just getting someone for free.
Yeah, so what the Jays and Marlins can do is the Marlins could give them their number 6 pick, which comes in at around $1.8 million. And because the Jays can only spend $1.4 million of that, the Jays can give the Marlins their number 39 pick, which is worth $421,000. And you basically have that $1.4 million that you get.
Exactly, and then just add in a prospect.
It works out quite nicely.
Frankly, Rajay Davis, although you can't make these trades until July, but those kind of guys, although I think they probably want a young guy, but who knows? It's just another element to, this is probably a precursor to an international draft coming in, next or whenever it would come in, which is a terrible idea. But MLB looks like they're going that way, so we need to get prepared for it. And Yeah. It, very complicated. I don't... I mean, there's a, like, five-page article here explaining the rules of it. So we're going to post that, and if you're interested, go check it out. It's by the always fantastic Ben Badler of Baseball America. Yeah.
Definitely interesting, but confusing.
Very confusing. And I think the more confusing something is, the more faith I have in Anthopoulos of getting the job done over some incompetent teams like the Rockies.
Yeah, I can imagine Anthopoulos just confusing all the other GMs, somehow coming away with, what does he have, 4.2, up to 4.2 he can spend this year? If he acquires that?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Nothing like the $7.5 million they spent in 2011, but I would put my money on the Jays spending $4.23 million, which is the most they could spend.
And but the other factor here is while they would be spending less money in Latin America, you'd have to expect the bonuses across the board would drop because of these caps.
Yeah.
So I would think that they could have a chance to get as much talent or more spending less money, which is Major League Baseball's entire goal, because they want to take advantage of underprivileged Dominicans.
And Roberto Osuna.
Yes.
Does he have a brother? I think we should sign him.
That's actually a really interesting element, because Mexicans are going to be the ones who are really screwed out of this, because Mexicans are not free agents like the other guys are. They are frequently owned by owners. They're like slaves. By their Mexican League teams, who require kind of a posting fee, like Japan, but not really. So I don't know what's going to go on in Mexico. Very confusing. We should do our Prospect of the Week.
Prospect of the Week. Who do you want to talk about?
Deck
McGuire. He had a good start.
Did he?
He did.
Look him up.
Seven innings.
Yeah, let's talk about Deck McGuire. Because Deck McGuire is in his third consecutive year of Double A in New Hampshire with the Fisher Cats.
Second full year,
but he was there, it's just 20 innings the year before. I was slightly surprised that he was not promoted to AAA. He did not deserve to be promoted to AAA because he had a 5.88 ERA and a 1.5 whip, and he was not very good. But at this point, you need to push him along because he's already 24 years old, and if he's not going to succeed this year, it's done pretty much for him, in my mind.
What do you have to lose?
What do you have to lose, exactly? And, you know, push him to Buffalo, and I think maybe he turns it around and turns into something we could use potentially as one of these trade chips for the international pool guys if he gets off to a hot start. But one of the more disappointing draft picks in Blue Jays history.
Yeah, I think his start was Thursday night.
Yep.
Yeah, it was Thursday night. He went 7 innings, 2 hits, 1 earned run, 1 walk with 5 strikeouts. And his season stats sit at something like a FIP of 2.17.
Hey, that's not bad. I can live with that.
His K per 9 is up. His K percentage is up. I mean, small sample of 11 innings, but...
Any port in a storm, because, yeah, he's pretty rough right now. Just looking at the draft that he was taken in, he was taken with the 11th pick in the 2010 draft. The player taken right after him was Yasmani Grandal of now the Padres, taken by the Reds, who's their starting catcher and is great.
And 2 picks later was Chris Sale.
Yeah, who was terrible today, but and is going to break... But
he was an all-star, so
yeah. You know, other guys they could have had were Zach Lee, highly thought of prospect for the Dodgers.
Christian Yelich.
Mike Holtz. Although Noah Syndergaard was taken later than him, and he's turned out all right. So
Taijuan Walker, Mike Holtz.
Taijuan Walker.
This is so depressing.
Nick Castellanos. Yeah, the baseball draft is as big a crapshoot.
They could have had Aaron Sanchez.
Well done, Gideon. Well done. You know, looking at some of the other guys taken in front of him, though, I mean, this was not... While it's got Harper and Taillon and Machado, it's still got guys like Christian Colon, who's a big bust for the Royals. Barrett Laux, who was actually found to be have a bum shoulder and not even signed by the Diamondbacks. So, you know, it's completely hit and miss. I'm willing to give Anthopoulos the pass on this one. This was his first draft, wasn't it?
Which was, yeah... Pretty good draft. Sanchez, Syndergaard, Nicolino, Wojciechowski, however that's pronounced.
Listen to the back of the bullpen podcast. But yeah, so last thing of the week, we are going to do our look ahead at the series upcoming the following week. Do you know who we play? Because my internet's being slow.
We are playing the White Sox Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, I believe. And then the Yankees Friday, Saturday, Sunday. I will be at the game on Tuesday. I think it's Burley, Johnson, and I guess Happ.
Yeah, first game on Monday is Burley versus frequent Blue Jay rumor guy, Gavin Floyd.
His cousin thinks he's still Jay. His cousin's neighbor, sorry.
Yes. Josh Johnson, who was terrible on Thursday, just awful, against Dylan Axelrod, and Jay Happ versus Jose Quintana on Wednesday. And then the premier matchup of the series, R.A. Dickey versus Chris Sale.
Oh, that's a four-game series?
Four-game series, yeah. No days off next week.
Right.
I'll be interested to see how Dickey's knuckleball does back in the dome because it looked a lot better today outside in windy Kansas City. So, you know, that's something to keep an eye on.
Maybe they open the dome.
Maybe they do.
It's supposed to be nice.
I'd seen some people speculate that was going to be the case, that they might open the dome. But I think it's probably going to be up to Dickey himself. If he thinks it's going to help him, they'll probably do it. Looking ahead to the Yankees series starting on Friday, weekend series against the Yankees, hopefully big attendances for that one. Brandon Morrow versus Phil Hughes on Friday night. Mark Burley versus Hiroki Kuroda, one of my favorite pitchers, on Saturday night. And that would make Josh Johnson versus Andy Pettit on Sunday night against the Yankees. So
let's hope the Jays clobber them on Friday and Saturday so we can have another LOL Yankees segment next week.
Yes. Have you noticed Vernon Wells this week? Because he's on fire.
He changed his stance back to what he used in 2010 when he hit 36 home runs, I think, or 35 home runs. Watch out.
Yeah,
Vernon Wells, comeback player of the year.
He's got three home runs already. He is slugging .697 with a .421 on base percentage. So, yeah. I mean, Francisco Cervelli has very similar numbers as well. So that kind of tells you how much use stats are this early in the season. But who knows? Vernon Wells might be back. And I was also really hoping that Casper Wells would take Vernon Wells as number 12. Away from Edwin Encarnacion.
Number 10.
Sorry. Nothing. So that those Wells 10 jerseys could be repurposed by everyone out there in Blue Jays land. But that should be it for us for today, for this week. And hopefully it is a less sad week next week. So some housekeeping before we go. You can follow me on Twitter at Mentoc, M-E-N-T-O-C-H. You can read my writing at Blue Jays Plus and at risingfastballs.blogspot.com. And Gideon, go.
You can follow me on Twitter at Gideon Turk and at Blue Jays Plus, which is just basically the link to account, which will link to all of our articles. You can like us on Facebook by searching Blue Jays Plus, which I hope you do, because I'm trying to grow that. This week on Blue Jays Plus, I think we have some content going out about the coaching staff. We should have our third part of the 30-30 for the Jays going up eventually.
Finally.
You have done the pitching. I just need to finish the hitting.
Yeah, that's very delayed.
It's a good thing I didn't do it yet, though, because now I could do Kawasaki. And
yeah, Kawasaki GIFs.
GIFs.
Not
GIFs. And
it's I'm probably going to do an article about the shortstop set that are available, so look out for that.
And maybe I'll have an interview with John Stilson.
Oh, cool.
Blue Jays prospect on the DL. Maybe that's this week. It might be next week. I'll see.
Excellent. Look out for that.
Thank you for listening.
Well, next week, go Jays, go.